Rethink Aging, discussions about life, planning, and growing older.
I'm your host, Elaine. With me is my co-host, Robert.
Well, hello.
Hello.
You know, recently I read an article on the NPR website, and it's from March of 2023, and it was titled, "They Could Lose the House to Medicaid." And after reading it, it left me thinking that, you know, there's Medicaid and there's Medicare, and like I've heard those words, but I'm not real sure what they mean or are. Can you help us out?
Those terms are very similar, and I think sometimes people get them interchanged because they sound so similar.
Yeah.
Medicare is federal health insurance for people 65 and older and some people with disabilities. It's very much like health insurance that you get from your employer.
So for like going to the doctor or the hospital?
Right.
Okay.
Medicaid is similar in that it also provides access to medical services. But there are two big differences. One, it covers long-term care.
Sorry to jump in, but long-term care, that stuff like being in a nursing home?
Being in a nursing home, living in your house, but needing care with your daily life.
Oh, like someone who comes over and helps you do stuff or cook?
Right, or gotcha. Take a shower. Yeah. I think we've talked about this, but a lot of older people wish to stay in their house as long as possible.
Right.
And that's
a way to make that happen, yep. Right? Okay.
The other big thing is that Medicaid, there's a big emphasis on the lower income. You have low income, you have limited resources, you don't have a lot of money to get that care.
Right.
It's a federal program, but each state manages their own Medicaid program, kind of in conjunction with the federal program.
Gotcha. So in each state, it's going to be like the health department of that state?
Right. In Wisconsin, it would be the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Who administer this program?
Right.
Okay.
It's a big topic. And with the eligibility laws and the rules being different everywhere, we're going to keep this pretty generic.
Okay. So just like a high-level overview, just kind of dip me in this a little bit?
Right.
Okay. Thank you. So who's eligible for this? Like, you know, and I get that some people are like really well off, but a lot of people aren't. Like, where's the threshold?
The exact threshold, again, is different in every state, but there are very strict asset limits, and you have to have a low income.
Got it.
And assets, that means stuff like your savings accounts, money you've got invested, your retirement accounts, and your house. So, like, any big tangible assets and cash. There's a few exemptions, like you're allowed to keep your vehicle for mobility, for getting to appointments. Your personal stuff, like your tchotchkes, your clothes, your tchotchkes, your miscellaneous stuff sitting around your house doesn't count against you. And there are some special rules. You're allowed to keep your primary residence, but there are a bunch of different rules. There's different rules for, like, if your spouse is still living in the house. There are rules, like, if you're living there, that's one thing, but if you're living in a nursing home, you have to intend to move back to your house.
Okay.
And again, this is where those complications and state variations.
Yeah, let's just keep this simple.
Another big eligibility thing is spending down your assets. So when we talk about how much you can keep, if you have, let's say you have $50,000 in the bank, you have to spend that down until you hit the threshold where you're eligible.
So when you say spend it down, is that, would you be doing things that might help you continue living in your house, for example?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Or paying for some care.
Understood.
You just have to get down to that threshold because they will look for how many assets you have, how much income you have.
Now, somewhere in the back of my mind, I kind of remember like hearing about scenarios where people would like get some professional advice or do research specifically on like how to spend that money down?
Yeah, that's a really good idea to look, because there are things that you can spend it on and things that they won't say that. Let's say you decide to spend your money on a cabin up north or,
okay.
maybe.
Like an extravagance?
Right.
Versus something that's going to be long-term useful?
Right.
Okay.
Or handing your money to your kids or somebody else.
So you can't just like hand it around and get rid of it. They're going to see that, right?
Right.
Okay.
They do about a five-year look back to see how you spent your assets and did you just give it away in order to become eligible.
Gotcha.
So if you've given away a bunch of money to become eligible, you either have to spend that much again, or those people have to give you back the money so that you can spend it. It's complicated. Don't try and game the system.
Yeah, I guess not. Now, if I can jump back to the article for a minute, the story in that article was that someone older, like the matriarch of the family, needed a bunch of care, used Medicaid, and then after she passed away, the family got a letter saying, you know, real sorry for your loss and everything. Hey, we're going to need some of that money back.
Nice of them to put all of that in the same letter, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. So efficient.
So this is a really big thing to know. Medicaid will try and recover some of its costs from your estate after you die.
Mm.
It's like built into the program.
Gotcha.
So we talked about spouses having some protections. There really is not that for the kids.
So like if there were adult kids living in the house or small kids or whoever living in the house, they would not be afforded that same kind of consideration?
Right. So in my mind, this kind of brings up maybe a bigger societal question. Is it fair to go back after money? This program is designed to help people with low income and without a lot of assets.
Yeah, that's in this article. It was kind of hard to picture how these people were going to be able to give any of this money back. Like they had very low income. Like that was the very premise of getting this help. How could they possibly pay it back without just like losing the home and, you know, and ending up with nothing, really.
A thing I've never really looked up the number of, but I'm curious about, how much of this offsetting of the costs in the big picture, how much is Medicaid taking back in versus outgoing? Is it worth kind of punishing people for not being wealthy enough to afford?
Sure, like what are the costs involved in recouping that money?
That too.
This part where the program comes back to try to get the money out of the families, to me it sounds like a classic American thing, you know? Like we sort of help people here, but then there's kind of like a bunch of strings at the end. I mean, if these people are low income, I'm not really seeing, aside from like losing the house, how they are supposed to pay back this money.
And I agree. I think that in a way, I think it's punishing people for not being wealthy enough to afford long-term care.
Agreed. And I don't know if you've ever heard this said, but a fine only affects someone who's poor, you know?
I get that, yeah. What I haven't done is completely researched whether offsetting the cost, what that does to Medicare.
Like, is it a net positive for the bottom line of Medicare?
I don't think it really is. The little bit that I've read, it kind of makes a very minor dent in the costs of Medicaid.
It's such a weird topic to talk about because we have all been kind of conditioned to live in the American society where we're the only people on the globe who don't have like a universal healthcare program. And this just seems to, when I said earlier, like this is such an American thing, yeah, there's this insurance and it'll help you out and everything, but you got to spend your money down. Don't do it the wrong way. And by the way, we're going to want a bunch of it back.
Right.
What?
Right.
So, I mean, my at the end of this, I'm kind of wondering, like, is this good? Should people use this?
I think in a lot of cases, there isn't another option. You need the help. You don't have the assets, the money to do that. In the past, that's how a lot of people just ended up living in a nursing home, because Medicaid would pay for a nursing home.
And nothing else?
Right.
Oh,
right. And these days, again, because of the push to keep people living in their own homes, there are some other programs that help. Another interesting part of the article was the lady in the article had gotten paid wages for helping her mom stay at home. So Medicaid paid her to be the home health aide.
Yeah, I've,
right?
I've
instead
heard of
that paying
kind of.
For an agency, you get paid to help your person. So she got paid, she paid her income taxes on this, and now suddenly they want to be refunded this money.
Yeah, and it seemed like she didn't know that was coming at all.
No, I don't think she was aware of it. I don't think anybody pointed this out. This should be known. This is one of those reasons why you want to learn about Medicaid and some of those decisions you're making. As she said in the article, I wouldn't have taken the income had I known I had to pay it back.
Remember when we were kids and there would be these public service announcements where you could get like all these pamphlets from Pueblo, Colorado? Like, where is the pamphlet about this?
That's a good question. I want to go look that up.
There's got to be one, because this is a really complex topic. And I know we've just talked about it like the highest level, you know, and I appreciate you talking this through, because it's something I've heard about so many times, but have such a limited understanding of.
I hadn't really researched it or learned much about it until my mom, who had Alzheimer's, we were starting to look at, could Dad keep her at home? Were we going to get to Medicaid? So we started doing Medicaid planning, and I started reading about it then. And we looked at his finances and tried to figure out at what point would we get to Medicaid.
Gotcha.
But without having that in my life, without that being a factor, I don't know if I would have researched this up myself just out of the blue.
Right.
I think another couple of reasons why it's important to learn about this is that I think long-term care options are very limited in the United States. You kind of touched on every other country has like health care for everybody.
Right.
I also think that other countries do better in helping their older generations. In the United States, there's family health caregivers, family caregivers. I mean, like the lady in the article, you can pay for assistance from the money that you do have. You can get long-term care insurance or go on Medicaid. I mean, that's it. There isn't a lot of help outside of having Medicaid.
Gotcha.
In closing, I have a few other things that you might want to investigate or think about when you're planning. Can you get long-term care insurance? Do you want it? Can you afford it? If you do want to go down that alley, get it when you're young, because the older you get, the more prohibitive the cost is going to be.
You mentioned long-term care insurance. Is that just what it sounds like?
It is.
So it's insurance that is in case you need like in-home care or something?
It is insurance that pays for in-home or nursing home care as you get older.
Gotcha.
It is like, think about life insurance, except that the triggering thing is you need care when you're older.
So you'd need to buy this like when you were younger, right?
Yes, because the insurance company wants to get their money too.
Of course.
So the older you get, the more expensive it is. At some point, I remember my dad wanting to look into it, but they were already in their early 70s, and it was too expensive
gotcha.
To get at that point.
Capitalism, let's go, boys!
I think another thing that is important to think about is family caregiving. Do you have somebody in your family that would provide care for you?
So somebody who can like be around and do your actual care instead of hiring someone?
Right.
Gotcha.
Or take you in and you go live with. And I think in other countries, that's a little more that I think in other countries that happens more than in the United States.
Gotcha,
people will take grandma in and
okay.
grandma will just live with them and
right.
now she's got care. To wrap this up, if you are older or a loved one is older and facing needing Medicaid, there are a lot of details to understand. You can get assistance from a professional Medicaid planner or a social worker. There are local ADRCs, which are Aging and Disability Resource Centers, or maybe an elder attorney.
The more you know.
Are you facing needing Medicaid? Is somebody in your family? What questions do you have? What are your comments? You can find us at Rethink Aging on Instagram or email us at rethinkagingofficial@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.